This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Celebrating America's birthday, and just a handful of days before you know it, the big weekend is upon us. A lot of people will hit the air and hit the highways in at least the next couple of days, Thursday, Friday, big days, Saturday, Sunday, coming back or even leaving. You know, it's kind of a mix of everything. AAA says 44 million. It's a debate. This is between 42 and 44 million. But it's a lot of people are going to be on the highways going for little mini vacations or visiting family or whatnot. And fireworks, of course, is always the big deal on 4th of July, celebrating our independence. Hello, everybody. Kate Delaney. As always, happy to be the skipper of this show. I have had my moments with fireworks. I like fireworks. A lot of times people don't like it. Oh, it's a hassle. Oh, the crowds. Oh, I have to wait for so long. I don't care. I would wait. Usually the people around me do not want to wait, however. So that becomes the issue. I think one of the best, I was thinking about this, and I know you all have stories and have been sending them to me. In our next show, we're going to talk about it. But, like, what's your best fireworks memory? And for me, it was being on a boat with a bunch of people. There were a lot of people, I think, on this boat. I can't remember. It wasn't like a charter boat. I think it was one that took people out. And it was off of Avila in central California, and they had fireworks that were going off. So I actually saw the backside, if you will. Like, I wasn't somewhere in front of the fireworks. I saw the backside of the fireworks, and it was very, very cool. I think the best place is when you can be elevated, and you just have a view of it wherever it is. Sometimes you get lucky. You just live someplace where you can see them. You know, where you can see enough of them. I worked at a radio station once where we could get onto the roof, and we scurried to get onto the roof because, of course, we were working on 4th of July earlier in the day. And it was downtown Dallas. And we could see, that was also a cool look. We could see all the suburban fireworks shows that were going off, too, because you would just look out and you would see a cloud of fireworks in the distance to the left and then to the right. And then there were the fireworks that we were focused on. And then that was another interesting view of fireworks. And listen, if worse comes to worse, you can always sit on the couch and turn on the tube. And there's all kinds of huge fireworks shows that go on the 4th of July. A very, very, I think, big day to remember when it all happened. If we go back in history, it's when our country was founded and why fireworks and what that symbolized. Speaking of symbols, there's a lot to talk about, and most of it, of course, heavy, like the sentencing of R. Kelly, the popular R&B singer. He was popular. But I want to mention this story since I opened up with fireworks. The last Medal of Honor recipient from World War II, dead at the age of 98, a life well lived. He was 18 years old at the height of that war, Herschel Woody Williams. And he tried to join, the story goes, he tried to join the Marine Corps, but a recruiter told this dairy farmer, because he was a dairy farmer, go home, you're too short, because he was 5'6". Then the height requirements changed. So he joined the Marines. He went on to earn a Congressional Medal of Honor after single-handedly taking out a series of Japanese positions in one of the worst battles on Iwo Jima. And he died on Wednesday at 98, again, the last surviving Medal of Honor recipient from World War II, at a hospital in his home state of West Virginia. I love his story, and And certainly he's somebody that you may have seen when he was being honored in the past, etc. I mean, even the U.S. Navy christened the USS Herschel Woody Williams. It's an expeditionary mobile base, and you think about what you know about Iwo Jima and 7,000 Marines dying in that battle in 1945. And he crawled through so many of his dead comrades and to find his company and just bomb craters for cover and that whole thing. And wow. And what is really interesting about his story is after the war, he worked for what we now call the Department of Veteran Affairs for 30 years and then established a foundation. He also had a horse farm in West Virginia. So RIP American hero Woody Williams, a life well lived. The story that I think has us talking, all of us talking, I always say this show is about what's happening in your backyard and mine overall, is the 53 dead in San Antonio that in that truck. They were being smuggled, and it's the worst ever, the whole human smuggling thing. And it points out still the problems, the huge problems at the border. And there were dozens and dozens found dead inside this tractor trailer that they were sweltering under this harsh Texas sun. The driver tried to slip away. He was trying to be one of the survivors. But the driver, along with two other men from Mexico, are in custody. That investigation is still happening, obviously. And what a tragedy. 53 people. It is our nation's deadliest smuggling episode on the U.S.-Mexico border. So the death toll went up a little bit because more people that were taken to the hospital died. And the bodies were discovered near an auto salvage yard at the edge of San Antonio. And the truck had been packed with 67 people, and the dead included 27 from Mexico, 14 from Honduras, 7 from Guatemala, 2 from El Salvador. They know that, but a lot of the identities are not known. And it's challenging because they were found without any kind of ID, any kind of document. And in one case, they even had a stolen ID. So you can just imagine how awful this is. The perilous risks that people take with the canals and the running across the deserts and now this. What a terrible, terrible thing. The truck went through a Border Patrol checkpoint northeast of Laredo on Interstate 35 on Monday. They know that. It was registered in Alamo, Texas, but had fake plates and logos, and that's all being uncovered as they try to pin down more specifics on what happened here. We just know it is exposing the problems of the human trafficking, the smuggling, the all the things, the drug trafficking. But this goes to those who wanted to come across. It's just a terrible, terrible, awful, awful thing. And then R. Kelly sentenced to 30 years in prison for what he did to female victims in sex trafficking, and he still has other cases that are pending in other states. But 30 years in prison after a New York sex trafficking conviction. This is a guy who is at a superstar level in the music industry, an R&B superstar, 30 years, 9 counts of sex trafficking and racketeering. That's what they found him guilty of in September. I think the jury did a good job, and so did the judge.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Since we know them to be true, we live in an era of fuzzy facts, don't we? Yes, we do. This is pretty interesting, though. I've been doing a little research on this, and my friends at The Hustle also backed this up. Have you noticed that in some cases it's really tough to find a public restroom, and your chances of finding one in a lot of our cities has been kind of being reduced for the last couple of years. So Starbucks opened its restrooms to non-paying visitors in 2018, but they may be reverting back to a different policy. But there's been a long history of businesses using restrooms as a selling point. And I didn't realize this. And for example, if we go back to saloon errors, that was one of the most reliable places for men, really, to relieve themselves in the 19th century. But you had to buy a pint. Department stores, and this still is big. You'll see restroom signs. I would be stunned not to see them in any big department store, whatever it is, Macy's or any of the others, the few JCPenney's that are still left open, or whatever department store. And they have usually clean restrooms, and that was a big selling point for women in the late 19th century because they realized, department stores did, that the women were shopping, that there were very few facilities for women. Then you have gas stations. And that can be debatable as to what those restrooms are like. But I'm just talking about public restrooms. So, yes, if you had to pull over, where were you going to go? Gas station, right? And you then look at what's the deal with restrooms. Well, in the 60s and 70s, public restrooms There was drug use in some cases. A lot of cities shut them off because of the access, because that's what was happening. People were using the public restrooms there. Then you also had a lot of people leaving cities for suburbs and more rural areas after World War II. So the focus shifted to highway rest stops. You know, the rest areas, you see those. And in Florida, because I'm just recently traveling, I would say going through Mississippi, they had plenty of those. In Florida, which is just as big as Texas, it feels like it's crazy driving through the panhandle. They have plenty of them. Of course, in Texas, they were all lovely, nice, big, whatever, accessible, all of that. But, you know, when you got to go, you got to go. And it's harder in some cases to find that place. It, like, brings up the question now with fast food spots, because that would be another thing is pulling over and running in. Some of them, because of lack of having help, have closed down where they just do the window, you just the drive-through window, and they don't have them open anymore. So that's cut off the access there. And I thought about the restroom thing, too, because you've got all the people on the highways across the country from east to west and south and north and southeast and southwest over this 4th of July holiday. And it's just interesting as to how that all started. And when did it all start, right? And so there are still places where there are restrooms on main highways, and you're pretty lucky there, but it might be tricky otherwise. It's kind of a little history. The facts as I know them to be true. How's that, right? Also, kind of dipping into some other things that are happening that I found, you know, just fascinating. If you go back in history and you look at, I love the, in this day in history, this is what happened. It was just this past week, and you never know what's going to fly. I think in Hollywood, they can say what they want as they try to read the audiences. But in 2001, there was this little movie, a street racing movie, that's your hint, called The Fast and the Furious, and that's when it debuted. You know, there are 10 films in that franchise, and they always do well. If they don't do as well as the first one, it's, you keep looking and you compare all the numbers, but they have done well, that's why they keep making them. Definitely in streaming, they're incredibly popular. But the film in 2001, I remember seeing the trailer for it and thinking, I wonder if this will find an audience. You had Paul Walker, who's no longer alive, but you had him as an undercover cop who basically infiltrated the illegal late night racing scene in L.A. to catch a gang suspected of hijacking big rigs to get the parts to outfit the souped up cars. And it really, really, really captured the imagination of a lot of people and was a huge, 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 let me say it again, huge hit. And subsequently, a lot of people went on to become pretty well-known actors, I think part of it because of that franchise. And here it was, 2001, the very, very first one that came about. All right, other just the facts, as I know them to be true. There is something else that's going on in the music world, and I noticed this myself with some salsa music, etc. Oh,
Latin music that you just heard there, maybe that's what happened. But as we move through the facts as we know them to be true, Latin music has exploded, and there is a Colombian singer known as the Prince of Reggae Town, Jay Blavin, who's one of them. He was the seventh most streamed artist in 2021. And there's also a Puerto Rican rapper, the most streamed artist on Spotify in 2021 for the second year in a row, Bad Bunny. So, yeah, I can see why the projections for Latin music finding a real niche, more than a niche, it just really exploded. I can see why Music Business Worldwide projects that it'll go to 1 billion. But what's so interesting is even in saying that, And with all this growth, et cetera, Latin music really only accounted for less than 6% of the U.S. music industry market share in 2021, which means there's certainly some room there. You got to think about what do you hear mainstream-wise. Country music, I think, couldn't be more popular. I think 70s rock or 80s rock or those specials are still, even for people in their 20s or 30s, are still very, very popular formats, listening to songs that you recognize, you know, whether it's the Rolling Stones or whoever it might be. And it's interesting to watch as our music taste might morph a little bit, especially if there's more ways to access different types of music. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
Se te olvida que me...
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to GCNTaxCut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. GCNTaxCut.com, GCNTaxCut.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Holiday travelers are dealing with more flight delays and cancellations just ahead of the 4th of July. FlightAware saying just over 1,600 flights have been delayed in the United States and more than 200 have been canceled. This frustrated passenger sharing her flight horror story with CNN.
I did get an updated email about 30 minutes after the cancellation, and that has me going from New York to Boston, arrive in Boston at midnight, and then sleep around in Boston until 8 a.m., and then get to New Orleans tomorrow at 10:45 a.m., so a full 24 hours, because I should have been leaving here at 10:30.
Final preparations are being made for the 46th annual Macy's 4th of July fireworks display in New York City. This is USA Radio News. Hot dog eating champion Joey Chestnut will defend his title on the 4th of July. The 14-time winner of Nathan's hot dog eating contest will be on crutches when he returns to New York's Coney Island Monday because of a ruptured tendon in his right leg. Chestnut will attempt to break his own world record from last year, which saw him eat 76 hot dogs with buns in just 10 minutes. A Trump administration immigration program known as Remain in Mexico is now able to be phased out by the Biden administration following a recent Supreme Court decision. Florida Republican Congressman Kat Kamick tells Fox News that this decision will place more illegal immigrants at risk of abuse from cartels near the border.
No one gets across that border without paying the cartels. And so when you see the women who have been raped, the children who have been abused, that is inhumane and cruel.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Dylan joins us with a new book called Rhymes Without Reason. Hello, Penelope. Thanks for writing this book and adding it to your collection, I guess, because I look at rhymes and I am lousy at rhyming, but I think your book teaches us some rhymes. So tell us what the book's about.
Well, it's a very stupid book, and it's very diverse. And they're simply things that I wrote after I'd done something really nice with somebody, either been on holiday or just had a nice time. And it was very often my thank you letter that I just wrote after whatever it was. So it's not about anything. It's just except having fun, I suppose, because although I'm very old, I've decided that I have just as much fun now as I ever did when I was younger. Well, I don't know if I do, but so I wrote all sorts of silly things. So it's very light-hearted, fun, and disparate. You know, there's no theme to it.
Yeah, there's no theme, and the idea is just to have fun with it, and that's why you pulled this together. And the book is Rhymes Without Reason. We're speaking with Penelope Bordillon. You can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. She's written several books. We've talked to her in the past, and this is different from some of the other books that you've written. And I think, as you said, you gave a great description. It's very lighthearted fun, where somebody could really pick up, it's a pick-me-up kind of thing, where somebody could pick it up in the middle of the day or whenever and read a piece of it, right?
Yes. Yes, a dear friend, I've given one or two to people because I don't have many to give, and he said he read one poem every night before he went to sleep. So I thought that was rather nice. And I'm looking on the back of it because it says, Penelope still has a passion for spreading the word of God as far and wide as possible. She longs for her friends, indeed anyone she meets on her path, to share in the joy that she has experienced ever since she accepted Jesus as her savior about 30 years ago. And I just want everybody to know that Although this isn't about God at all. But there's no need to go around with a long face saying, I am a Christian and I am very pious.
Right.
It's just, once you've met Jesus, it's all amazing. And there's no need to have a long face and be frightfully, sort of rather dreary about it all.
I love your enthusiasm. We talked about that before in one of our interviews, where you said what a game changer it was for your life when you accepted Jesus Christ into your life. It changed your life.
It did. Yes, it's nice. Never the same again. But yes, it's just such. I think I said last time probably. That it's possible to have joy in one's heart, even in the midst of the most awful things happening.
There's
room for joy and sorrow at the same time. I can't explain it, but...
Isn't that true? And that's what the difference is, for sure. And you can see that in your life, as you said, and how you spread that. And this book is not that. This book, Rhymes Without Reason, isn't. And as you said, it's lighthearted. It's kind of, I like your description of it's all over the place, which makes it so interesting. Give us a little snippet, if you would, recite a little something from the book. Because we don't want, this is just a sneak peek. We don't want to give everything away.
You did it. You planned it. You brought all the plants. You then put them into all the right places. All I want now is to sing and to dance every time I look at their bright, shining faces. We made the stone boulders, you made the big picture, you sculpted the bank and moved tons of soil. You got us all working. It's lucky we're fit here. It was worth every moment of that. And it's now become a garden rather than a derelict place in the hills.
Right. Instead of just that piece of land, now it's something beautiful. What do you hope people take away from reading Rhymes Without Reason? What's your great hope? I mean, you talked about the one friend who read a poem, as he called it, a night.
Yes, that was lovely. Well, at the end of the day, the only thing I really, really care about is spreading God's word. And I'm not good at doing it. And if through this book, they might perhaps look at some of my other books, that they might just realize that there is more to meeting Jesus than just going to church and being rather bored. And I just, if I can do anything, to bring on revival, that's what we all need. Well, we do in Wales anyway. It's happened before, it'll happen again. But we've all got to get down on our knees and pray. And if this book can bring that nearer, that's what would make me really happy. But I think that's my greatest wish. And I'm just, as I say, so delighted to be getting old and still being able to enjoy myself. And the only trouble is one's friends are getting rather older and terribly well, so that's what's sad. But apart from that, I have nothing to complain about them.
Well, Penelope Bourdillon, keep spreading the good word, Rhymes Without Reason, and continued success in all that you're working on. And we'll look for the book, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and anywhere great books are sold.
Oh, thank you.
We thank Penelope for that. It's always great to talk to her. She's so creative and so interesting. A life well lived, as she continues to live that way, and you can tell by the joy in her voice. Hopefully you had some joy and got some eye candy. I know there were a lot of fireworks celebrations that went off on the 2nd and also obviously on the 3rd before we jumped on these airwaves. But it was really a strange week for a couple of different things, including shark attacks. And, you know, seriously, we have on National Geographic, you have the, their own sort of Shark Week coming up, and then you have the big Shark Week with Discovery Channel.
And there was the news about the teenage girl who was seriously injured. She was galloping with her brother in that shark attack that was kind of, it was at Keaton Beach. And so you think Tallahassee and up a little bit further in the panhandle-ish area, I'm going to call it that, of Florida. And then you've got a couple of other shark attacks that people are, you know, that are they're jawing about, and the one that I think that's overseas that people are talking about so much is this Red Sea accident. And, I mean, I'll call it an accident. I mean, a brutal attack, really, actually. So Egyptian authorities had to shut off parts of the Red Sea coast after the shark attack killed two tourists. Attacked two tourists, killed one, a 68-year-old Austrian woman. And this is the summer holiday there, so tons of beach goers are trying to identify why was the shark super aggressive, what happened there, why was there two attacks, you know, what happened. And I've never had the opportunity to swim in the Red Sea, but I've heard wonderful things about it. I mean, people tried to help her. There was a guy that was seen tossing a rope to the victim in the hopes of hoisting her onto the boat safely. The shark has been identified as a Mako shark, which they can be terrible, but they rarely attack humans. If you look at the place to go is the Florida Museum International Shark Attack File, and they don't have very many of those. That, you know, generally, the shark attacks in Egypt are sparse. Let me give you an idea. Since 1828... as far as unprovoked attacks, you're talking about 22, my friends. So not very many. Now, in New York, closer to home, this was pretty big. They decided they've put drones in the air. They have now more shark patrols after a man might have been bitten at a Long Island beach because there's been an uptick in sightings there. The injury happened with these increased shark sightings that started last year. So they're implementing these shark patrols. The Nassau County Police Department said that a 57-year-old man was swimming in the ocean at Jones Beach, a barrier island off the southern coast of Long Island. He got lacerations on his right foot while he was swimming. The medics identified it as a possible shark bite, so that made them decide, okay, we're going to increase these patrols, more, because even though it's exceptionally rare again, these things can happen. But I'm sure the people, because that's a big place to swim, I'm sure the people in Long Island, they hear this, and trust me, it's like telephone. Everybody's talking about it. When I talk about the buzz in the land, you know, people are talking about this in that area, but not just in that area, other areas, because I've had people ask me, what's going on? I don't understand what's happening with these attacks. And overall, I'm going to say the same thing. If you think about the amount of people and waters all over the world and the amount of shark attacks, still relatively very, 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 let me say it again, very, very, very low. I hope wherever you are celebrating style and you get a chance to see some of that eye candy that I mentioned. Maybe you're grilling out, you get to be with the family. I have to be with my family. In fact, we were at Fort DeSoto. We were swimming and diving for sand dollars, so it was a lot of fun. So happy 4th to all of you from all of us here on the show. Stay with us as we head for the exits next.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
For a conversation with Robert Sandilands. He's written a book called The Bomb Maker's Apprentice. Robert, thanks for coming on. Tell me about the novel. Tell the listeners about the story. What is The Bomb Maker's Apprentice about?
He was a soldier, an ex-soldier. His younger brother was killed by a mob, and he decides to go and join the mob to find out who was responsible for his brother's murder.
Ooh, and, you know, you're talking about, you've got Richard Barton. Tell us about the character Richard Barton.
Well, this is an ex-special forces, and when he was demobbed, he found it difficult to get a job, and he was approached by this, another ex-soldier, offering him a, you know, a job within the criminal organization. And as it happened, it was the same criminal organization that was responsible for his brother's death. And he thought, well, this is an opportunity to find out what's happening. Because Richard Barton's parents were pressurizing him to get closure on their son's death.
Ah, to get that closure. For you, was it, what was it like writing this book? I mean, was it fun for you because this was rattling around in your head? What was that process like?
It was fun, exciting, and finding characters, looking at people, observing people's habits, you know, neighbors and people in shops. And, no, I thought it was great. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed writing because I've been writing all my days since I was old enough to read and write. I've always been carrying notebooks and pencils with us, and having a scene, I try to describe things. Like an artist, if an artist seen a lovely scene, they would sit down and they'd take pictures of it and go home and paint it. I would sit and write it, you know, describe it as much with as few words as possible.
What do you hope people take away from reading The Bomb Maker's Apprentice?
Robert Sandilands, by the way, who we're talking to, you can get his book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I was thinking about it. A page turner. I would hope they'd be satisfied spending the money buying it. And they'd probably recommend it to other people, their friends.
Yeah, that's what you can hope for, right? That to have a page turner. That's what we all want. So I agree with you there. It is a page turner. Will you write another novel? Will you write another book? I would have to imagine there's more in you.
I'm on the fourth one now.
The fourth one. Wow. So you got the fourth one going. What's the fourth one called and what's it about? Do you know yet?
You're using the same character, Richard Barton. And it's basically a carry-on, a sequel all the way through.
A sequel with Richard Barton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting, because he's such an interesting character, and it's great when you can move along with the character, and that creates a lot of interest, of course, to see what happens next. And obviously you have more to tell, that's for sure. Robert, what did your family think? What did your wife think of you becoming a writer? I mean, you are writing, so, you know, you're as you said, you're on your fourth book. What did the family think?
Well, she's quite happy with it, like, you know. Would you like to ask her yourself?
She's supportive of you, so that's good.
Hold on, I'll get you to her. Sorry. Just can't go anywhere to work with her.
Hello?
What did you think of Robert's book, The Bomb Maker's Apprentice, and the fact that he's on his fourth book? What's that like? Is it fun?
The first one, The Bomb Maker's Apprentice, it was a page-turner. I couldn't put it down. I had to keep on reading it to see what happened next.
Yeah, well, that's certainly high praise. We are glad to hear from you. Thanks for verifying that. I love it. I just knew, because this book is a page-turner. I agree with you, so thank you.
I definitely am. Yeah, I just like to keep reading it and reading it.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to bed.
Yep. And so that's high praise for people listening. Thank you. And we can tell people you can pick up The Bomb Maker's Apprentice on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So thanks for that. And let's say goodbye to Robert. Is Robert still there?
Yes, he's here.
Perfect.
Hello.
Robert, high praise from the missus. She says it's a page turner, and I agree. So thanks for coming on the show, and we wish you good luck in the future.
All right. Thank you very much for having us.
A handful of minutes left on this holiday show. A couple of things to leave you with here at the tail end of it. Very sad that several people were killed in a shooting at a shopping center in, yes, Copenhagen. So it doesn't happen just here in America. Sad that this happened in Denmark, because you saw the same scene you would see anywhere in the world. People were racing for the exits to get out of the mall. This was Fields Mall in Copenhagen. They got the guy, a 22-year-old man. They're not talking much about it, but they're not ruling out the possibility that it was terror-related. And, you know, you had other people that were admitted to trauma centers, so there were other people that were hit. And, you know, gosh, just seeing those scenes anywhere in the world, as we have seen in the United States, it's so sad and disheartening. It really is. But, again, not a lot of details on that one. Okay. This is very sad to me, and you know, this is, to me, 4th of July is big. I grew up outside of Philly. I grew up in the belly of the beast of liberty. I love it, love it, love it. You know, from the time I could talk, I was learned about history and Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and the founding fathers. Seriously proud. But I was seriously sad to see this latest Gallup poll that 38%, and again, it's a sampling, right? 38% of U.S. adults who say they are extremely proud to be American is the lowest in Gallup's trend, which started in 2001. So together with the 27%, I would say me, who are very proud, 65% of U.S. adults express pride in the nation. So, all right, 65%. 22 say they are moderately proud. 9, only a little. 4, not proud at all. It's a record low level, of course, because of all, I think because all the challenging things that are going on and the fact that we're so polarized. I mean, I hate that word, but it's the best word I can think of. You know, it's me against you, you against me. And, you know, it's so, it's sad, but it's been this way, by the way. Not just this past year, not the year before, not the year before that. I think it's been this way for a while. And by the way, this is from a poll that was conducted after mass shootings in Buffalo, New York, and Uvalde, Texas. So you think about all the lives, 31 altogether, 19 kids. So that's got to be a big part of it, right? It's very, 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 very just, it just rips your soul when you hear that. When you think of young children, think of anyone. You think of people that are just shopping in their neighborhood. They're in a grocery store. That shouldn't happen. But I hope that we'll see that trend flip and come together and realize that we should be proud to be Americans. Think about what this day is about. Thank goodness. It's about our liberty. That's exactly what it's about, right? You know, absolutely. So for those of you who did travel on this holiday, it had to be tough. It had to be tough in the air because, once again, so many flights get canceled. I mean, look, you know this is going to happen. It's kind of one of those things where you book this flight, right? And you go to the airport and wherever nook and cranny you hail from and you're thinking, you know, I want to go see my cousin. I want to go see my mother. I want to go see my friends. I want to go, I want to get on the water. I want to go on the beach. What, you know, whatever it is. I want to just take a little tiny vacation. And you get there and then the flight's canceled or it's re-racked or, you know, it's Armageddon in the airways. That word is not an exaggeration, but you knew with what's been happening with these flight problems and cancellations that it was going to be that way. So United canceled 53 flights and delayed 183 in the morning on Sunday. Delta canceled 39 flights, delayed 283. I mean, it's just been hectic. Look, the Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg told Americans to look for compensation for their canceled flights like he did rather than discuss strategies to fix the chaos when he was talking about it. And AAA said there was going to be 47.9 million. That was their projection that we're going to travel for the fourth this year, the most in 2 years. And why is that? Because we're desperate to connect. We're desperate to have something that's familiar, something we crave, something we miss, something different, something to reset us because of what we've been in the middle of with this pandemic nonsense. So that's part of it, right? And then getting the pilots back and all the things that are happening, whatever's happening, right? But Buttigieg is interesting. He said airlines offer miles as compensation for some travel issues, but you can negotiate. He said he got back $112.07 over his canceled flight on Friday after he was initially offered about $30. I don't know. Something to think about. If the transportation secretary is saying do it, think about it, people. Thanks so much. Happy holiday. And thanks so much to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
It's a rich man's world.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.